Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We begin a new series today, Community, as we run up to Advent and Christmas. The Reverend Fabian Wirtz begins with the new family of Jesus. Our readings are taken from Galatians 4, beginning at verse 7, and Matthew 12, verses 46 to 50. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Yes, our first reading is in Galatians chapter 3. We're starting at verse 7. I'm going to read it in the Message translation because Paul's really digging into some theology here, and I find this makes it just a little bit easier to understand. Is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, are like Abraham, children of faith? It was all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right with non-Jews by faith. Scripture anticipated this in the promise to Abraham, "All nations will be blessed in you." So those who now live by faith are blessed along with Abraham, who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine. And that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Habakkuk had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Rule-keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule-keeping, a fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, rule-keeping, continues to live by them. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the Scripture that says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree"? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now, because of that, the air is cleared and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. We are all able to receive God's life, his Spirit, in us and with us by believing, just the way Abraham received it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I am reading from Matthew's Gospel. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of the Lord.
Can I just start by saying I was very impressed with the stamina of many of you who stood standing from the very first song, through the introduction of the praise and through the praise, so well done. But at any time when we have kind of an extended time of praise, and if you need to sit down, do so. That's very important, that all feel included and able to worship in a way that is appropriate for each other. And that's what it means to be part of a family, to accommodate each other. And that's what we're going to explore this morning. So let's start with this opening prayer, which goes back to that song we sang. Lord Jesus, you are the way maker, a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, even light in my darkness. You made a way for us to find forgiveness and be restored into your wonderful family. So open our hearts and mind to what you have to say to us today, that we may truly love you with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love all others as ourselves. So this is the first talk of, I have prayer. Hopefully I have my slide somewhere. Don't seem to have them.
Well, they were on there.
Well, I'll start. This is the new series with some slides, hopefully. But it's going to lead us all the way to Advent. And we're going to look at this word community, and on the slide was actually life in community for Jesus and for one another. Life in community for Jesus and for one another. And one of the prominent way of describing the church or the gathering of Christian is that idea of a family. Jesus started a small community of 12. He chose disciples or apprentices, and their responsibility was to learn from him, to follow him, to see what he was doing, how he was acting out God's purpose. And in and through him, he was saying the awaited ruling of God was becoming a reality. That's the idea of the kingdom of God. And in the New Testament, we have all those expressions. The kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of God has drawn near, or the kingdom of God is near. And it couldn't be nearer to the disciples because the king was with them. The one who was bringing the kingdom, Jesus, was with them. And his mandate from God was to call people into a new family. And so we have in Matthew that reading, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." And he replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And the context of this reading is a context of Jesus becoming quite popular. He goes around towns and villages teaching and preaching and bringing God's healing in a powerful and extraordinary way. Even in that chapter, the word goes out, "Could this be the Son of David?" And the context of that is the Jewish people were waiting for a rescuer, a Messiah, a Savior. And they believed that he would be of the line of David, a descendant of David. And that's why when they use that expression, "Could this be the Son of David?" what they meant is, could he be the one we have been waiting for, the one who would usher in God's final ruling on earth, God's kingdom, God's presence, God's reign. And so Jesus was popular, and some people were starting thinking he might be the one. Thank you so very much for that, Stan. Well done. So we are there, context. And this was attracting jealousy from the religious authorities. But even his family seems to get worried about him. Jesus' generous jealousy and anger among the religious leaders, some in that passage are plotting already to kill him. We need to stop this nonsense. And the best way to stop someone is by killing him. Others were accusing him of being in league with the very devil, starting throwing all kind of accusations. But then even his family, mother and brothers, are worried and thinks he might be out of his mind. And they are making the trip to have a word with him, probably to take him back home to Nazareth and to sort him out. Pointing to his disciple, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, and whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now we read this and we don't realize how shocking that was for a first century Jew. The most loyal bonds in that community and culture was your family. That's to whom you're loyal to. And to say my real family, the one I'm going to be loyal to first, is not my brother or my mum, and possibly here the dad is not around anymore because we see it's just the mother of Jesus and her brothers. So it looks like possibly Joseph died. And that's even more important because Jesus is the elder. He is responsible in that culture to look after and to honor his family. And yet he is away doing other stuff. And he says, my family, my real mother and brothers, are those who follow me, those who do the will of my Father in heaven. That small community, the 12 disciples, were his family. And he says, and all those who do the will of my Father, they are also my brother and my sisters. But what does it mean to do the will of the Father? We just read in our passage that it's not about the following the rules, trying to fulfill the law. Jesus said in another place, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day." And so he tells another place plainly that this is the only work God wants from you. That's the work. Believe. Trust in the one he has sent. This was Paul's gospel. This was the Christian historical proclamation that we enter in Jesus' new family by faith. That he was putting together, constituting a family who will know God and act out of his intention and purpose in community because of their faith, their trust, their loyalty in Jesus. And to understand, it's important because for first century Jesus, they were born with the story of the Old Testament and they knew it. But we often haven't. And so to understand this idea of community and family, we need to go back to actually the very first verse of Scripture and the first few chapters. Because it's all about the reversal of the fall, the reversal of human disobedience and rebellion. So this new family starts at the account of creation. And what do we have in creation? Well, we have this opening sentence, in the beginning, God, in Hebrew Elohim, God created the heaven and the earth. And then as you go through that first chapter, you have the Elohim Ruha, or the God breath, the spirit hovering over the earth and bringing order into chaos. And then you have the Elohim speaking, using words to bring things into reality, things that are not into reality. And it might be reading too much into the passage, but throughout the Christian tradition, they saw that right at the beginning, the reality of the one God who is three person, seems to be there. That God is community. He is a community of person, of mutual love and submission. And submission. It's part of being part of a community, to love and to submit to one another. How can we submit? Well, if there is real love, then there is no fear. And then if there is no fear, then we can learn to really serve and submit. Jesus submits to the Father in full love. And then God creates humankind, man and woman, and sets them apart by giving them his very image. And part of that image is being a community. Equality and yet very different. Man and woman. And he blessed them. And what does he say? He says, be fruitful and increase. Create a community where love and mutual submission will take place and will be a blessing to all of my creation. You are going as a community to rule. And that word today has become problematic, rule. It's not a very positive word. But if we look at some of those synonyms, you are there as a community to govern, to oversee, to administer, to direct, to manage my creation, to bring it to life. But you have to do that in community. And then, of course, we have the fall. That infamous story of corruption. Both man and woman are deceived. The woman is deceived by a being who chips away her trust in God, makes her believe that God is actually holding things up and that she is better making her own decisions, that she can become her own God, decide for herself what is good and not good. Choosing for oneself what is good and evil. Become one own master. Becoming like God. That's the deceit. And with every deceit, there is always an element of truth. Because if we go all the way to restoration at the end, Jesus says we will be like God, expressing the full reality of God through our bodies. That was the intention of God, always. But the intention was to do it in trust, in faithfulness, in believing and following his ways. And not just the woman, but the man followed suit. And so both fell from that community. And the community, that relationship, is not just a loss of relationship with the Creator, this kind of vertical relationship, but it is the also horizontal reality, the communal. The consequences of their disobedience is both vertical and horizontal. They hide from God and they hide from each other. They need to put things to cover themselves, to cover their guilt, to cover their shame. And you just need to go through chapter 3 and 4, and it gets from worse to bad, from bad to worse. Straight away, we have jealousy between the first offspring, the two brothers, leading to a violent murder. And from there on is violence upon the violence. And yet, right at that story, God already makes a promise. A promise that a descendant of a woman will one day conquer and defeat that deceiver, that liar, that adversary of God, yet not without a cost. And in this kind of cryptic verse in Genesis 3, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her, speaking to that deceiver. He, that offspring, will crush your head, but you will strike his heel. It's not going to be an easy plan. And central to that account is what we read in our passage, Abraham. And so that's why Paul uses Abraham to speak about what Jesus' plan is in bringing a family. He used Abraham because it's key to the Jews. And he's speaking to a church that is in great danger to split and to have a Jewishite who believes they are the good citizens, they are the proper citizens, because not only they believe in Jesus, but they're really following the law and they're circumcised. And then there is this kind of second-class citizens, all the pagans that are coming in. And really, if they want to become first-class, they really should become Jews. And so Paul goes to Abraham because they recognize Abraham as their father. They are descendant of Abraham. And he goes at the heart to show that even Abraham was declared righteous, was declared in the right, not through laws or rules, but through faith. And that started with when he was called. Abraham didn't know God. Abraham, his faith was in many gods. And then one day God reveals himself, calls him, and says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The Jewish family, which takes their origin in Abraham, believe that they are the true family and the only one, because they are the descendant of Abraham. And God gave them a covenant with the law and the promises of blessing. But they had forgotten that the law came after. The law came after faith. Abraham left things behind. It's interesting that in our reading is about leaving things behind. Abraham left things behind to follow God. He didn't know where he was going, but he had to trust that God. And through his life, he had promises, and the promises of an offspring, and you know the story, he was very old, 75 when he started on his journey, and even older when the promise of the offspring came, was nearly 25 after, so nearly 100 years old. But Abraham believed, it says, and it was accredited as righteousness. And so Jesus goes back to there. He says, Israel's was never meant to be an internal blessing. It was never meant to be a family just for their own sake. It was always meant to be the place where the promise will be carried so that one day the blessing of Abraham will spread to all nations and all people. And that's what happened through the cross. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. I think it's there. You see here the cross. That's where we are brought in, Jews and non-Jews. In those days, that was it. You were a Jew or you were anyone else, and that was a non-Jew or a pagan. Jesus brought all those together. And the place to be brought in is faith, trusting in the promise, trusting in what God did on that cross. Those of faith, those that have the faith of Abraham, are the true sons and daughters. They are the true family of God. And so Paul says, it's not new. That was the whole story of Abraham. Abraham was declared righteous because of his faith, not because of his work. Not because of circumcision. That was after. And the same now is for today. And another probable reason why he picks up Abraham is because Abraham mostly is the true model of conversion from believing in many gods to believing in one God. He had no kind of history behind him. He didn't know who this God was. He only knew this must be the one and only. If I have an options, and there is only one, that's the one who's calling me. So he based his response into entrusting his whole life to follow that God, to be loyal. And that's what it means to be part of a family of God. To entrust our whole life to be faithful, to be loyal to Jesus and his family. I want us to look back at that picture that we had at the beginning. It's a beautiful picture of, well, what does it mean to be a family? You have there some people praying, some people laughing, playing, celebrating, which we do. Be joyful. People sitting down with someone. Maybe that person has a difficult time, just showing compassion, giving time. So what does it look like for us to express being part of Jesus' family? Well, yes, Sunday is important, and I had a conversation with my father-in-law yesterday, and we were thinking, do we go to church because we need it, or do we go to church because we want it? Possibly it's a mixture, but really it's because we want it. We want to be with our brothers and sisters. We want to share the goodness of God. We want to celebrate what he has done on our behalf. We want to come to church. And church should be a place of joy, a place of celebration, not to take away the reality sometimes that we are in a difficult place. But that doesn't take away the need to celebrate. That's part of belief. That's part of trust. That even if it's hard now, I trust that he will make a way when there seems to be no way. He will be my God. He will lead me through. And he will use my brothers and sisters to do that. But of course, it's not just about Sunday too. It's also about you connecting with your brothers and sisters during the week. In this church, what we try to do is we try to have groups. And so if you're not in a group and you've been considering, you think, you know, I come regularly on Sunday, but is there something more? How can I connect with other Christians to grow, to be in that family closer? Because that's where we are changed and transformed, is when you meet other Christians that are as imperfect as you. And you need to work that through by God's grace. And so we have those live groups. And again, Roger, if you can stand up, then we can see it. Roger, he's the person who can give you more information, but there is also some leaflets at the back with an email and a telephone number. But maybe you're not ready to come to like a Christians or, you know, to share the Christian faith as a group. And you want to explore. You want to be a group that explores. That's the alpha. And again, go to the same person and he can give you that information about how to join that group. But be finding a group of some kind where you can do life together is so important. That's how we grow as Christians. And that's where you can start blessing others, affirming, encouraging, praying, supporting, walking with. That's what it means to be part of God's family. And then finally, it also means to learn to live at peace. That original breaking of the community through the fall, God is teaching us to restore that. And that includes learning to forgive, learning to be patient, learning to honor one another, learning to build up and not break down. So I wonder what God is saying to you this morning. If you're not in a group, maybe it's about exploring that. Maybe it's about having your eyes open. Those who have been praying, a story came, and the story was shared, which is a vicar, a reverend in South Africa, who desperately wanted to see the face of Jesus. And that was his prayer. He wanted to see the face of Jesus. And as he came that evening to the group he was meant to minister, the thought came, this is my face. This is where you find my face, in your brothers and sisters. This is where the faith of Jesus is expressed. And so I wonder whether maybe you see someone who is in need of a coffee this week, or you see someone who is in need of a phone conversation, or you see someone who is in need maybe just to be invited to your house and have a meal with. And as you share, to see the face of Jesus in that encounter. Or maybe you are a person that needs to go to someone to ask forgiveness, or to work out a relationship so that forgiveness and a peace can be a real reality. As your Lord God to speak to you this morning, I'll finish with that prayer, which takes again some of the confession we have made. And maybe those will be helpful words to end. Lord, you have rescued us and transformed us into a new family, your family. Help us to restore health in your family, to heal broken relationships, to tend or repair all that we have neglected. And continue to teach your work of renewal, restoration, and redirection. For you are a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, light in the darkness. Yes, this is who you are. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.